Jogger, right now today, Kuku, Russell, or Jones, who do you think starts game one?
I think Jones. Yep, I think Jones. I mean, I think that despite the fact that Tippett had Kuku skating today, there's a just something about the way he reacted to your question. He said, don't read too much into that yet. He's only played one game in the last while here. I think this is, and this is a guess, this is why I think they did what they did today. I think they feel they may need Kuku at some point, and I think that they want to get him up to speed and ready to go as quick as possible. He needs reps. By pairing him with Ethan Bear at practice, he got a pile of reps today. He was gassed. He was working really hard. If you throw him on the fourth pairing and make him take every second or third rep, he's not getting any more ready. He's not getting ready the way he needs to be getting ready. So I think it simultaneously just keeps Caleb Jones on his toes. And, I may be eating my words. If Kuku's on that pairing tomorrow, he's in. But I have a funny feeling it might be Jones back on that pairing tomorrow. And today was about a really good hard workout for Slater Kuku on that pairing with Bear.
That's pretty interesting. Like, I can see where you're coming from, but I guess, like, I just want all my guys feeling the best they can if I was the coach. I want everyone knowing where they're going to be uncomfortable. So it's not easy. I wouldn't say Dave Tippett is playing games, but it's just like, why would you do that for a guy that if everything goes right, you hopefully don't need him.
Yeah, but I don't know, Struds. I feel like they want to have as many guys ready to go as possible. And I hear what you're saying. Like, they might even say to Caleb Jones, hey, we're playing Slater there today. We just need him to get the reps. You know, we want him to, because he's probably not in the kind of condition that he needs to be in, or he can continue to improve that. And short of absolutely gassing him with the practice squad, with the taxi squad, I think that, you play him on that pairing and you get those reps in. And so I think they want to have extra guys ready to go. I think he, is probably left or next man up on that left side, considering where Russell's at. And, I could be reading way too much into it. It's just the way he answered your question today, Greg's, basically said, don't read too much into that, or don't read too much into things. He wasn't willing to, talk openly about the fact that Kuku was going to go in. He's only played a game. So let's see where practice is at tomorrow.
Yeah,
I don't know. I have this funny feeling like Jones will be right back there tomorrow.
Well, you might be right, man. I was watching Jones, and he looked at times like a guy. Strutty was talking about how his coach one time pulled the rug out from under him. Not saying that that's the case here, but he thought he was going to play in the playoffs and then didn't, and it was just a hard one to swallow. And I was just watching Jones's today in practice, and he just seemed like a guy who was kind of frustrated because he wasn't there, with Kuku with Ethan Bear. So, and the other thing is, I look at Bear. He's a puck mover on that pairing. Caleb Jones isn't a defender. Right? Yeah. Like, he's more of a puck mover. And that's why I think it's going to be Russell or Kuku, just looking at, how that pair lines up. Jones and Bear are similar styles in what they do.
Yeah, I think that's fair. The other thing, too, is that if you also go back and listen to Tippett's post-game comment the other night after their final game, the first game that Slater Kuku played, he was, he didn't overdo it, but I think he was pretty pleased with the way he played. Just said he was steady and... And I thought Kuku, for his first game in a couple of months, was really good for them. So now you're probably playing a certain amount on energy and adrenaline. You're playing against an opponent that doesn't have a ton to be playing for at the moment. And like he said, like Kuku himself said after the game, I didn't act like this was a mean nothing game. I acted like this was like a playoff game for him. He had one game to show how ready he was. And if you don't show something in that game, who knows how long it is before you get a look. You've got Russell sitting there. You got Lagesson sitting there. You got Jones sitting there. So he put a dent in it for sure with his play. I'm not 100% convinced based on today that that's the way they're going to go. But I think tomorrow we'll know for sure. If he's still on that pairing tomorrow, then it's a go.
Joined by Ryan Rashog from TSN, breaking down the Oilers and the NHL. Which way do you think Paul Maurice will go for his team? Try to lock it down and have even his offensive players limit the chances they give to the Oilers? Or are they going to try to go for it a little more, take advantage of any miscues the Oilers might create?
Yeah, I think they're going to try and really stress like a defensive structure from the far blue line back. You know, he's going to ask a lot from his players, I think, to play a certain way. But I think once, I think he's got to let his offensive guys go. I mean, you know, McDavid and Draisaitl are probably going to get their looks and probably get their chances, and you're going to need to generate a certain amount. And I don't think you're going to win by just stymieing all the creativity and stifling the guys and asking them to play a way that I just don't know that they're designed necessarily to play in that way. So I think he'll ask a lot of them in their own zone and in the neutral zone, but I think you got to let the guys fly a little bit in the offensive zone. So it'll probably be a little bit of a hybrid. Run and gun with the Oilers hasn't gone great for them this year, and a lot of those games have been a lot more run and gun. So they got to figure out a model that is somewhere in between.
Yeah, the Jets are gonna have to try to play a completely different style than they played all regular season, and you know we'll see if their players can switch to it. Their defense is what it is. Their defense is okay. I think of the four teams in the North, their defense is the weakest by a fair margin, I would say, to be honest. They're without Ehlers, I think that's the blow that not many people are talking about. I really think that neuters the 5-on-5 play of Winnipeg a lot. He just look at his shots and shot attempts 5-on-5. He drives a ton for them. And, you know, Ehlers getting healthier and Scheifele and Connor Dubois just hasn't found comfort. And I'm not sure he can, this year, in there. So I'm curious. Scheifele and Lowry, you know, maybe split the matchup against McDavid and Draisaitl. So I look at the one line for the Oilers that has to do something is going to be the McLeod line. I think they got to chip in some offense, and if they do, that could be a big difference maker, because you know eventually McDavid and Draisaitl will score, and it's just a matter of how much.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what the matchups look like. I mean, to expect them to put together some offense. I mean, I would say if they're playing against the fourth line of the other team, then sure. If they've got the Lowry line, if they can saw that off, that'd be fantastic. If they've got either of the top two lines, if you can saw that off, it'd be fantastic. You know, like, I'm not sure offensively I'm not going to be expecting much from McLeod here in the postseason. I think he needs to give him some good minutes and some honest play and to, you know, try and be a little bit more physical and all that. But I think it just depends on who they're playing against. You know, I think I would say that Kyler Yamamoto, Dominic Cahoon, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, you know what you're going to get from McDavid and Draisaitl. You got a pretty good idea. I think those guys need to be the ones that can pitch in here and there as well and make a difference. You know, no matter who they're playing against, you expect those guys to be able to produce. I wouldn't say the same about McLeod and Chiasson.
Do you think Scheifele can have a series where he's equal to either 97 or 29?
Well, this is a real challenge for him. I mean, he is regarded as one of the better centers in the game. He's regarded as, you know, he's pretty darn good. But this is a monumental challenge for him. I mean, McDavid just absolutely fed him his lunch all year long. Like, it wasn't even close. The minutes that Darnell Nurse played against this guy all year long, it was not even close. I mean, the Oilers dramatically outscored Winnipeg when Nurse was on the ice with Scheifele. Like, Nurse and McDavid and company, they just were far superior. So Mark Scheifele did not meet this challenge in a bunch of opportunities this season, and so this is a huge test for him. But, look, he's their franchise, right? He's the guy, and they got other really good players for sure, but if they're going to have a chance, he's going to have to figure out a way to get on the right side of this matchup. And he hasn't been able to figure it out yet this year. So what's the answer? I think Mark Scheifele is a heck of a good player. But if Connor McDavid has it on tilt, I just don't see how this goes to six games even.
Well, the other thing that people forget, like, the Jets come in limping to the postseason.
Yeah. Right?
Like, they've been bad for basically since April 1st. Compared to, like, the Edmonton Oilers have the fourth best record in the NHL since April 1st, and the
very
Jets are
different,
like,
confidence.
22nd.
Yeah, very different places confidence-wise, hey, for these two teams. Like, for your team to endure, what was it, a 7-game losing streak that they had? For your team to endure something like that late in the season and then try to regroup and find yourself and find your game and be confident and be a team that, okay, no matter what the score is, you're good to go. You know, that's got to be tough. That's a sputter to the finish. So they ended off on a winning note and all those things, but I agree with you, Greg. They're limping in from a confidence standpoint. They did not have a good finish, while the Oilers are a group that feels like no matter what situation they're in, they're going to have some answers.
Yeah, I find that pretty, because I go back to the one quote here of Paul Maurice talking about how he's like, you know, we had to adjust our game, and I've seen some of that adjustment, right? I don't know. It just seems too easy, you know. And maybe I'm a little gun shy because I think I picked the Blackhawks to lose to Oilers last year in three games instead of four. So you know, I don't know if I'm ready to send you my hat if this one goes that quick. Like, I just, there's too many good players over there for me to dismiss this group that quick, that quickly. I do believe that not getting an extra D-man is there, and I think I've decided I'm settling on six for the Oilers. But I don't know. Like, you know, Blake Wheeler seems to be finding a little more juice. You know, does Paul Stastny have another good push in him? Like, I guess it's a lot of ifs and buts, but I don't know. I didn't give any ifs and buts to Chicago last year, and I ate my words.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think that if Mike Smith continues to perform in the postseason the way he did during the regular season, I don't think the Winnipeg Jets are going to suddenly magically pull an answer out of the sky for McDavid and Draisaitl. Other teams have done it this year. They haven't. So with that being the case, they might be able to stymie him for a game, maybe a game here or there. I don't see over the course of a potential seven-game series them being able to find an answer that they couldn't find all year, even if they did make some adjustments to their game. So unless Connor Hellebuck goes like unconscious to a degree like we've never seen, six is a safe bet. But honestly, with the way the series has gone this year and the way things set up going in, I don't know that the Jets will make it to Game 6 if McDavid is doing what McDavid does. And he finished the year doing what he does better than ever before.
Yeah, I think that's almost getting lost here. I've been reading a lot of predictions, and you know, people in Winnipeg are saying, "Okay, we'll take out the games head to head and just use them against the rest." And I'm like, that might be the most ridiculous. I'm like, what? Hey, let's take out the games that they played other teams and not the ones they played head to head. Wow, then it looks like they're really even teams. And I'm like, oh my goodness, like that's got to be the biggest reach I've ever seen when it comes to you want to find any stat to manipulate it to find yourself some belief, great. But I just honestly, Edmonton's just, it's not a good matchup for Winnipeg. I think some systems teams just aren't good matchups. You don't see it like this in a normal year because usually teams don't play each other that much. But this year can be exposed, good or bad, for certain teams.
Yeah, and listen, there are teams this year that have figured out how to play against McDavid and Draisaitl, and they have been able to keep those guys reasonably contained for stretches, right? The Toronto Maple Leafs are there's no better example than that three-game set that they played against the Maple Leafs. And, you know, the Oilers will hate that being looked at, but that has to be, if you're the Jets, you got to go look at that, and you got to see the way they did it, because they did it consistently, and that never happens. You don't keep those guys off the board like that. But they were able to.
That's why I think it's a massive outlier, to be honest.
Well, I don't know if I'd say it's an outlier. Toronto's a good team. Like, Toronto's a really good team, and they did a really good job against them. And should it be Edmonton and Toronto in the next round, there will be so much focus on those string of games. Now, the Oilers can feel a lot different about their game right now than they would have back then. And I don't know if you can say the same thing about the Jets. The Oilers beat the Jets consistently all year long, and that never really changed. And the Oilers have gotten better, and the Jets have sputtered to the finish line. So, you know, the season series definitely matters. But I think when it's as one-sided as it has been with the Winnipeg Edmonds, it's for a reason. And the storylines have been very consistent throughout. Connor McDavid dominates, and they can't figure out a way to keep him off the score sheet. He dominated them, man, with 22 points. I mean, it's ridiculous. So Winnipeg's got good players. They do. They've got some good, they're gamers, the good individual players and guys that can, I think, are going to make this they're going to make the games difficult. I don't know that they have the answer on the back end to stop Connor McDavid.
No, I would agree. Shager, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one.
All right, sounds good, guys.